I'd like to speak to you today on the subject, capturing the Corona moment. You may say, oh, but Pastor, it's far more than a moment. Well, it depends on how you look at it. If in God's clock, a day is 1,000 years, however long this Corona issue lasts, it will only be a moment in the grand scheme of things. But it is important, since we live in time, that we extract from this season of life what is most essential and what God has designed. I want to begin with Genesis 41:52. It says, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering." God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. And as you look at that verse, you say, how do those two things go together? How is it that I can be fruitful and also suffer? Fruitful in the land of my suffering. Now, I didn't say it. God said it. So he intends for all of us to develop some fruit even while we are passing through this season of the coronavirus. And, you know, this Christian life is often full of these contradictions, and sometimes believers have a difficulty grasping these apparently contradictory things. But consider Christ. Christ himself was called by God the man of sorrows on one hand. On the other hand, he was referred to as anointed with joy above all men. So how could he be anointed with joy above all men, but also be the man of sorrows? Now, that's a little seed for you to meditate in. I'm not going to delve into that today, but let me just give you one clue, because whatever Christ is to find a parallel in our lives as well. Another verse that perhaps can give you a little further direction down the road in meditating on that thought is the scripture in Proverbs that says, "Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning." Weeping for the night, joy in the morning. So those two things parallel this dimension of Christ. Those two things speak to the experience that we have in life. Weeping, night season, joy, morning season. And so it's vital for us to not wipe out one or the other, but to grasp what God wants to work in us, regardless of how we perceive the season. You know, so many people are struggling across the globe in this particular time, and many people have lost their jobs. I don't know if you saw in the news yesterday, and in one of the richest countries of the world, in the United States, in the city of San Diego, they showed on the news last night hundreds of cars lined up with the boot open to drive up and receive a box of food, a food bank in San Diego, California. And so there are things taking place across the globe. And regardless of what is happening in your life, there's someone who has it better, someone who has it tougher. And so it's important for us to not just try to tough it out, but to say, all right, I want to come through on the other side bigger, better, different than I am today. And so that's what I want us to grasp, because many people today are one end of the extreme of the other. They're caught up in some conspiracy theory, and let me tell you, there's hundreds of conspiracy theories out there. On the other end of the spectrum, there are people who are living in denial. Some people are, well, I think I know what is really going on. Other people are saying, this is all a game. There's no such thing as coronavirus. It's all something media generated. And so you have these two ends of the spectrum. In the end, regardless of whether you're living in denial or living in some notion of a grand conspiracy that's going to ultimately control the globe, in the end, you want to take from this season what is essential for your life in Christ and your assignment that he's given you to finish. And I want to share with you some things today that I pray will impact the way you look at what's going on in your life. Jeremiah 10 and verse 2 says, This is what the Lord says. Do not learn the ways of the nations or be terrified by signs in the sky, though the nations are terrified by them. So God says the global population will have an emotional and mental and spiritual response to what's going on. But he says, I don't want you to learn their ways. I don't want you to imitate what they're doing. You're not to follow the direction they're taking when they don't understand and when things are bad and they don't look good and disaster is on every hand. I don't want you to learn their ways. I want you to learn new ways. I want you to learn my ways, says the Lord. And so God wants us to access grace at a new level in this season and not follow the ways of this world whose lives are governed by circumstances and by emotion. You see, God wants to get to our inner lives, and he most often uses the external things to get to us on the inside. What speaks to your thoughts and emotions more than your circumstances? And so we face losses at times so that we can really rediscover what is most valuable. We face hardships so that we can learn patience, long-suffering, forgiveness, and endurance. You know, the most important thing that all of us can take away from this trouble, this season of trouble, and it is a season of trouble, and I believe this season of trouble is going to come to an end, and we'll head for the next season of trouble. I also believe that this is kind of level one. And so the most important takeaway from this season of trouble is, what does God want us to learn? How does he want us to change and grow as we embrace what is taking place now? Because this is a preface to the next season of trouble. You say, Pastor, do you have a negative outlook totally about the future? Absolutely not. But I do happen to believe as long as you are in the world, you will suffer tribulation, as the Bible says. So you have a season where you're suffering tribulation, suffering corona, and then it comes to an end, and you have a time of blessing and peace, and then you move toward the next season. You see, the devil isn't dead yet. So he's after you. And so as long as you're alive, you will face tribulation. And so it's important for us, if we're going to live well, that we learn how to be fruitful in the land of trial and difficulty and trouble. Proverbs 16:2 says, humans are satisfied with whatever looks good. God probes for what is good. Isaiah 26, verse 9 and 10 says, my soul yearns for you in the night. In the morning, my spirit longs for you. When your judgments come upon the earth, the people of the world learn righteousness. They learn the right ways of God. It goes on to say, though grace is shown to the wicked, they do not learn righteousness. Even in a land of uprightness, they go on doing evil and regard not the majesty of the Lord. So God wants us in our yearning, in our longing, in our night season of struggle and wondering and so on. He wants us to learn. So he wants us to gain something. He wants us to hear something, to receive something that makes our lives bigger and better. And so it's important for us to capture this corona moment and master the lessons. Proverbs 15:31 says, the ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide amongst the wise. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul, but he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. For the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. One more verse, Isaiah 33 and verse 6 says, He, that's referring to God himself, will be the sure foundation for your times. For your times. Whether it's good times or bad times, corona times, non-corona times, Brexit times, whatever the times are, He will be a sure foundation. And when trouble comes, that's one of the things that happens. You look at the foundations of your life. People across the globe were looking at the foundations of their life. Their life was built on their ability to work or to do whatever they did to make money. And that foundation's gone. They have to look for a new foundation. You know, you look at Joseph. And Joseph's life is a great instruction that God is with us in the classroom of life, because life is a classroom. Joseph, a fine young man, went through all kinds of trouble. And interestingly, as you read his story, and I'd like to encourage you to read his story this next week and just meditate on what God did with him. But the Bible says time and again, but God was with him. God was with him. God was with him. And I want to say to you, in this trouble, in this corona moment or season, God is with you. More than you realize, God is with you. He is available to you. He is available to you. And if we are going to capture the moment as God intends, if we're going to be the learner that God wants us to be, we're going to have to rediscover some mislaid values. And I want to give you today five mislaid values that we need to look at again and say, all right, what is God saying to us in these five? I know there are many things God would teach us all, but I want to look at five fundamental things that God, I believe, is asking us to look at again. You know, all of us have certain truths that are a part of our treasury of beliefs. And we, if someone were to ask you about it, say, oh, yes, I believe that. Yes, I believe that. But it may not be fully operational in our lives. We have the collection of knowledge and information. We even have some positive experience, as we'll see from the past, in relation to those truths. But when trouble comes, you go digging. And you look at some very basic and fundamental things. And you begin to realize again how precious are those values that perhaps have been mislaid. You know, you've not thrown them away. You know, it's like natural things. You have something of value, but sometimes it gets mislaid. And when you're thinking about it and you need it or you want it or you're going to bless somebody with it, you've got to go dig it out. You've got to go find it and bring it back into focus and back into your present interaction and involvement with. So I want to give you five values, often mislaid values. Number one is time. Ephesians 5:16 probably is a really good verse, especially in the Authorized Version, for this season, where it says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time for the days are evil. That's a big issue right now, is time. Colossians 4 and verse 5 says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time means giving its consumption its greatest value. You see, time has become a serious issue. When you can't go to work, all those 8-10 hours that you were involved in going and coming and being at work, now you're at home. If you're working from home, you might even be working longer. Or if you're not working at all, you have all that time. What will you do with that time? What are you learning to do with that time? Most people prior to corona said, well, I don't have enough time. There's just not enough days of the week, and I can't do everything I'd like to do. And sometimes my desire to fulfill all my obligations and connect with all my friends and family and so on. I haven't been able to do it because I just got so much stuff. But now, when the whole world has kind of come to a screeching halt, people are thinking about time, what to do with their time, what to do with them. And yes, you can do all that gardening that you hadn't been able to get around to and other things, so on. What are you learning to do with that extra time? Are you praying more? Are you hearing more? Is your soul more calm than ever because you're not, as the Bible says, in the last days, they'll be rushing to and fro and filled with anxiety and the stress of rushing about. When all that's dialed down and you're on the other end of the spectrum, what are you doing with your time? And I'd like to say to you that around the globe, there is more prayer being made, more intercession being made, probably in human history, in terms of numbers. And it's kind of interesting. This trouble has prompted God's people and many people who don't even believe in God or believe in other gods to cry out to someone greater than themselves, to seek the face of the invisible. And so one of the things that God wants us to do is to redeem the time, to learn perhaps at another level what it means to have prayer all the time. As 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. So you can arise in the morning, or if you're awake in the night, you can be praying in tongues or praying for your neighbor or praying for the ones that you know are struggling, the ones in the hospital, or the ones who are grieving, ones without employment, ones whose business has gone down the drain. You can be praying. You can be praying. You can discover that you can be more of a prayer person than ever before. You can make an eternal difference with the words you utter that are filled with faith. Second, perhaps mislaid value that God wants everyone to look again at and discover is the significance of relationships. You know, nothing is more apparent to me than saying this right now in front of an empty sanctuary. I'm really missing you. And I know you're missing each other and missing being together and missing seeing your grandchildren and your friends and your neighbors. And you can't do that. And so now all of a sudden, these things that perhaps we might have taken for granted even seem more precious. You know, as good as it is to go on social media, Zoom or WhatsApp or whatever, and see somebody's face that you haven't been able to actually see face to face, it's still not the same. And you can find, as I did the other day, photos of our church history and lots of the people who are part of this congregation and look at that. I'd had so many memories of things that have happened in our journey with those people who are still alive today, and I miss them. I miss you. And I know you miss each other. You see, life is about people and relationships. Our world pursues things, but the most important values have to do with people and relationships. And when you can't connect, when you're in lockdown, you can choose, and I encourage you to do so, every cyber alternative you can. But remember how precious our relationships. Paul spoke at the end of Romans and referred to his friends and the people that he loved, and he unashamedly said, I love this one, I love that one. We need to say that. I'd like you, even while you're listening to me, just get up and give somebody a hug. If there's nobody else where you are to give a hug, send them a text right now and tell them that you love them. Well, make sure you get the right telephone number. That might be a problem. You got the wrong one. But take a moment to give somebody a hug or to communicate your love for someone else. Even today, somebody you haven't told them you've loved them for some time. Love them. Express that love for them. Thirdly, another value often gets mislaid, and that is faith. You know, faith is not just a biblical understanding, but it's really the basis for all of life. It's the basis for all of life. It's the provider of all things materially and spiritually. Everything good in your life that has eternal value comes from your faith. That's kind of interesting. If you know Christ as your Savior and you have any sort of Christian history at all, you can believe that faith is necessary. Yeah, I know faith is necessary. You can believe actually that faith is powerful. In fact, you have received or exercised faith in your history already. But at this moment in time, in the corona moment, you realize that more than ever in your life, you need to walk by faith. Not by fear, not by circumstance, but you must walk by faith. You must have the shield of faith about you. And you know, we think about David and the great soldier that David was. And we can ask ourselves, well, who conquered Goliath? Well, obviously David, but shortly after, and this kind of tells us how sometimes our life goes through seasons and we can mislay, we can put aside and not remember and not take up something that we believe in, that we hold precious. David killed Goliath. But not long afterward, David was so harassed with difficulties, he went and hid. In fact, he hid throughout Israel, and when he couldn't find anywhere else to hide in Israel, he went to hide amongst the Philistines. You know, there are Christians who once were like David. Maybe that's you. You had some great victory, but today you're hiding amongst the Philistines. You're living a miserable survival mode. You simply need to come back to what gave you victory yesterday. Revisit faith, because faith, your faith, will still work today if you will work it as God's Word designs. And Deuteronomy 33 and verse 12 says, "Let the beloved of the Lord rest secure in Him, for He shields him all day long, and the one the Lord loves rests between His shoulders." Do you feel secure? Are you at rest? Maybe you need to examine where you are positioned in your own thinking. This is what the Bible says, the one the Lord loves can rest secure. He's shielded because you rest between His shoulders. That actually is manifested when you believe. Before I put a little chart on the screen here, I want to just tell you a little story. Last week I gave you an assignment. And the assignment I gave you was to sit with your family and discuss and share your miracle journey, your life, and have each one recount various times where God met you financially in some miracle, in some way or another. And I trust you did that. If you didn't do that, then I would like to give you that assignment again, because it's a good assignment. My wife and I and our family met together, and we had a wonderful time sharing our journey, and we rehearsed so many powerful and precious testimonies of God's meeting us. And I wanted to share one of those with you today as we look at how valuable and how important faith is, and how it's something you can't just say, yeah, I believe that. It has to be something active, operational in your life. Back to my story. When we first moved to London, we were being supported by our sending church in America. And so we had a salary as we moved from up north to London to pioneer the church. And the salary was on a decreasing scale so that eventually each month it got smaller until it was down to zero. And all of that was to prompt us to prove the calling that is on our lives, as our faith would either produce for us or it would be a signal that we were in the wrong place. And so we moved to London, and eventually our salary came to an end. The church was small. It was not able to support us financially. And so we found ourselves in a position I had never been in before. We found ourselves with an overdraft and with a mounting load of debt. I'd never experienced that before. I didn't see a way out. I was harassed by a spirit of fear and the pressure of my debt increasing every day weighed heavily on my soul. Finally, when the pressure got so great, I finally admitted to myself that I was suffering some sort of depression, stroke, spirit harassment. So I thought, I've got to deal with this. So I went for a walk, and I told my wife, I'm just going to go for a walk, and I'm going to go and talk to the Lord and just pray. Amazing how trouble can take you to new levels of prayer. So I went for a walk, and I was gone probably an hour or more, and I was telling God all the stuff, you know, all the stuff that he didn't know. You know how you complain to God, you call it prayer? Maybe you've never done that. But I told him, I reminded him that we didn't come here at our own bidding, that he had done so many miracles to actually put us in this position, and that I was presenting our situation to him as though he did not know. All the way out of my journey and all the way back, I heard nothing from heaven. Just before I walked in the front door of our home, I heard the Lord speak back. How does the Bible say faith comes? The Bible says faith comes. Isn't that great? Faith comes. Let me tell you, faith is always out there coming. Faith comes by hearing. And just as I reached the door, I heard the Lord's voice in my soul. When I was quiet enough to listen, I heard his voice say to me, "Rick, it's going to be all right." That's all I heard. I went in the house, went into my bedroom. I was so exhausted, I fell on the bed and I fell asleep for 3 hours. I woke up and the peace of God was on me. But from that moment when I heard from heaven and I believed him, from that moment on, our circumstance changed. Two Glorias who were in our congregation, who didn't know anything about our circumstances, decided that we needed a freezer. So they went and bought us a new freezer and they filled it with food and they brought it over. And then they alternatively began to bring food to our home each week. Other people who didn't know our circumstances sowed into us. God met us simply on the basis of faith. Not desperation, not crying, not telling him things that he already knew, but hearing. When I was quiet and I heard, faith came. Faith came. I want to say to you that in the midst of your circumstances today, God wants you to realize how important your faith is. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, I'll read a few verses here. Paul says in verse 2, "We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, to strengthen and encourage you. Today, God wants to strengthen you and encourage you in your faith. He says, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. God does not want you unsettled by your circumstances, by your trial, by whatever is going on around you. He does not want you unsettled, going up and down like some emotional yo-yo. He wants you to be established. He says, you know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. I said that at the start of the message. And it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. He didn't say your health, your finances, your children, your marriage. I'm sure he would have been interested in all those things because he loved them. But he says, I sent Timothy to find out about your faith, because Paul knew that it is your faith that is the very core of your walk in Christ. Whatever losses you face, whatever trials you go through, it is your faith that enables you to succeed. He says, I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you and our efforts might have been useless. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He brought good news. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. And so as you're looking at the chart here today, you can see that faith is really the core of your life. As Galatians 5 and verse 6, the Bible tells us the only thing that counts is faith expressed through love. Everything that you require, everything that you require comes out of your active exercise of faith. And as you look at the chart, your relationship to God started with faith, your ministry, your victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world, not your ability to endure corona, but it is your faith. Your finances, your walk with Christ, your righteousness comes by faith. Your healing, miracle, whatever it is. And my chart isn't big enough, but the core is your faith. Because grace has everything. It's God's provision. And Romans 5 and verse 2 says you have access into God's total provision by faith. It is by faith. And so I want to encourage you to get out your faith and say to yourself, I am a person of faith. I have faith. My faith will work. All I need to do is hear from God about this or that or the other. And I guarantee you, nothing's going to harm me. I'm going to have enough. When others are suffering, I am going to be able to provide for them because God has spoken to me. God is speaking to you now as I'm speaking to you. God is restoring and strengthening your faith so you will not be unsettled, but you will learn in these days of this corona moment how valuable, how precious, how important your faith is. Number four, another often mislaid value is intimacy, being close to the Lord, discovering a new level of prayer relationship with Him. Jeremiah 30, verse 21 and 22 says, I will bring him near and he will come close to me. When do you get near to God? Well, you get near to God initially when you were sick of being a sinner and God's Holy Spirit drew you with conviction and you came near to him. In life, we most often draw near to him, more significantly when trouble comes. But he goes on to say, for who is he or she who will devote himself to be close to me? God wants us to devote ourselves to be close to him. And in the midst of our trial, our Heavenly Father is calling us to him. I want to say to you today that as you learn in this season, this corona moment, as you capture and rediscover and unearth and activate these values, God is drawing you. There's a grace available to you in this trial like never before. Be sure you hear his voice drawing him to you. He's not just the Amazon delivery. He is your life partner, your very closest friend. Fifthly, the fifth value that often gets mislaid in this busy world that we live is humility. Now, you're probably aware of the fact the Bible says he knows the proud afar off. In other words, they're not close to him. If you walk in pride, you're not close to God. God kicked the devil out of heaven because of pride. You know, we rediscover the truth of humility and dependence upon the Lord in new ways when you have to find Jesus more significantly when trial and trouble come. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 2 says, "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you." I didn't say it. God's word said it. God says, I'm going to take you through a desert season, a corona season. This will humble you and test you. It will say what is in your heart, so you will learn to follow him more significantly. He says, whether or not you will keep his commands, he's humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna. So God says, okay, whatever the devil is, his assignment is, I'm going to use his assignment. And so the whole globe is going to suffer food shortages and all kinds of trials and troubles, but I'm going to use those. I'm going to teach my people how to prosper. I'm going to take away everything so they can receive from me. God says, I'm going to teach you that man does not live on bread alone. He doesn't live on bread alone, but upon every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Psalm 119:71 in the NETB says, it was good for me to suffer so that I might learn your statutes. The law you revealed is more important to me than thousands of pieces of gold and silver. You know, sometimes in our journey, we can wrongly conclude there aren't any major changes that I need to make. Hard things are necessary to get us to reconsider perhaps an instinctive position and discover a grace to make adjustments and changes, major changes in our lifestyle and our approach to Christian living. John 15 verses 2 and following says, he cuts off every branch in me. I wish I could say when you get to 42 years of age, all the branches that don't belong in your life, they're cut off. And you'll never have to be worried about the pruning hand of your father, the gardener, any longer. All pruning is done by age 42. Those who are 41 say, oh, why didn't he say 41? It doesn't say that. You can still be pruned as long as you're alive. Why? So, as the Bible says, you can become more fruitful. So there is a pruning going on in this corona moment. You will make me fruitful in the time of my suffering, in the time of my trial. The Bible says no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Isaiah 64 and verse 8 says, yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. Say to yourself today, I am the clay. I'm the clay. I need to remind myself, I'm clay. I'm clay. I am the clay, and he is the potter. Some people get it mixed up. They think they're the potter, and God's the clay. They will fashion him accordingly. No, no, you're the clay. And the potter continues to fashion you and I. Isaiah 66, verse 1 and 2 says, "Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be?" God wants you and I to be his resting place. He says, "This is the one I esteem, the one who is humble and contrite in spirit and who trembles at my word." I want us to pray now. Let us bow our hearts in prayer. Father, we come before you now in Jesus' most precious and powerful name. We don't want any part of our lives to be a waste. And we know that you are the master teacher. You are the Heavenly Father who loves every one of us. And you know how we have been traveling through this corona season and all the issues that have arisen both in our circumstances and in our minds and our families and those near and far. Lord, we want to gain. We want to learn. We want to be even more fruitful. We want to be changed by this experience to become more like Jesus. We want to learn the ways of the Lord. We want to hear from heaven. While I'm speaking right now, God is saying, "I am going to put my thoughts into your minds. You are going to receive some impressions, some imaginations, some dreams. You are going to know that I'm speaking to you in this season, in this trial. I am a faithful Father, and I will give you wisdom how to walk through these days and come out graduating with honors, graduating with honors." Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us all today in Jesus' most precious and powerful name. Let me just close today by saying, I'd like to encourage you to take a little time to read aloud with your family and discuss Psalm 32, verses 6 to 11. Even the children can contribute with this, but it'd be a good time just to discuss this passage of Scripture, Psalm 32, verses 6 to 11. And I've also given two songs for you to sing at the end of our time today. One of them is perhaps an old hymn, and the other one a more modern song. The old hymn, you can sing it or find it online if you don't know it. It's called "Take Time to Be Holy." And the words are especially appropriate for this season. And the second song is the song by Casting Crowns. You can also find that one online called "Thrive." And the essential message of that song is, we were meant to thrive, even during the time of suffering. God bless you today.